Did the Buddha have chanting in his time? Did he create any of the chants, or were they all created after his passing? The way that the teachings of the Buddha were learned at the time of the Buddha and then passed on amongst the students and disciples was through recitation. That's basically what we're doing with chanting, is that reciting particular verses. Of course, some of the ones are created after, like some of the ones that are more devotional verses, although some parts from the Buddha's teachings are incorporated in it, say like the nine qualities of the Buddha. Say Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vicha Jarana Sampanno Sugato Loka Vidu. That was spoken by the Buddha describing himself, so that those are incorporated in some of the chants. Some of the chants are teachings that the Buddha himself gave, say like the ones that the suttas, those are teachings that were compiled certainly around or near the time of the Buddha, and then they're passed on, and or chant on the four requisites. That's a teaching that we chanted this morning. The Buddha's words on loving kindness that we chant in English. The verses that we did, we chanted in English. I will abide pervading with. The Pali of that is the right from the suttas of the Buddha's description of loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. The verses of sharing and aspiration, that's something that was written after, so that some come from the Buddha's time, some don't. They are, as I said, it was how the teachings were passed on. Like there's a couple suttas where the Buddha meets a monk and fairly newly ordained, and the Buddha asks the monk to recite a certain section of the teachings, and then the Buddha praises him in both his memory and his diction, and that he's kept it clear and he's remembered. So that in ancient India, that oral tradition was actually writing. Writing was known at the time of the Buddha, but it wasn't considered appropriate for religious teachings to be written down. That was kind of low and mean type of thing to do. Accountants and people, secretaries for kings, did the writing and wrote sort of worldly things, but religious and spiritual subjects were considered more important to be memorized and passed on through memory and recitation. So that during the time of the Buddha, then you'd have groups of monks who would learn teachings or sections of teachings, and then that would be their duty, their practice, and they'd be reciting that. And then after the Buddha passed away, then there was a council came together and there was a recitation of the teachings to clarify and compile the teachings as they were remembered. And then after the time of the Buddha, 100 years, 200 some odd years, then there were convocations where they would get these monks from all these different places, they would recite together, and then you'd have reciters and listeners. And when somebody is, you know, out of sync, and then you've got to stop and figure out, okay, which was the right word, what was the right phrase, and so that the texts didn't come about until about 400 years after the Buddha passed away, that when it was written down. So that many years. But on a certain level, the trust was not in the written text. The trust was in the memory, memorization, the chanting. Say, even today in Burma, there are monks who can recite the whole Tripitaka, which is like 45 volumes of Pali, the suttas, the Vinaya, and the Abhidhamma, and they can do the whole thing. There's not so many of them, but I met a couple of them a few years ago, and you know, they start learning when they're young, and when they're questioned on it, they're actually, you don't get to start right from the beginning and go through, because that's fairly easy when you're memorizing. But they're actually sort of given a phrase sort of in random places. Then they have to pick up from that and then be able to recite it. So they've got to just know it front, back, right? It's just, I mean, I forget the chants that we do. You know, those are pretty diddly.